our friend and co-worker Vince Ferrara. In that order, his weekly appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment, and he's with us for hour number two of the show. If you want to join the conversation, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. And Vince, safe to say spring has sprung, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're not quite at summer, but man, we're not too far away. I mean, there might be a sweat here or there for some of us outside. But as I say that, nice breeze and no complaints whatsoever, because it is it's been glorious the last couple of days, short of a little smoke in the air this morning.
Yeah, that was something to just kind of work past. But yeah. When you get to see this Tennessee baseball team work out on Lindsey Nelson or start to get its warm-up going ahead of a second matchup with Eastern Kentucky, and you are looking at game 30 on the schedule for the Vols. They're into the second half of their full season schedule, and things are going well.
They are, and just really cool to see them rank so high, as high as four on a number of polls and consensus top 10. And this team just finds a way. They don't have maybe the college baseball, the national maybe big names or flash player. They don't have the top of the Major League Baseball draft that a lot of people are talking about, although they have a number of really good draft prospects. And their offensive numbers don't overwhelm you in some of the more flashy categories and statistics like batting average and home runs. But they hold their own in those areas, and they get on base. And one of the top teams in drawing walks, they did so, 24 times against Alabama? Incredible. And they're able to get enough timely hits. Obviously, this past weekend against Alabama, they loaded the bases most of the weekend, especially on Saturday and Sunday. But this is a really tough, really together baseball team, and they're extremely fun to watch. Guys that maybe don't have the eye-popping stats still come through and contribute and bring so many other things to the table. Different players step up at different times. Just a really nice blend and balanced type of team that that is not afraid of the moment, and a lot of guys that come through in those moments. Just really fun, I think, for fans to watch. And they got a couple of obviously marquee programs coming in the next two weekends, and it'll be electric atmosphere in here for the number of people that can come into Lindsey Nelson Stadium with Florida, and then Vanderbilt the week after.
And it is, I think it's understandable, but when you consider that from the moment he became Tennessee's head coach, Tony Vitello has talked about not just getting into the NCAA tournament, but also hosting regionals, things like that. And then I know that Brian Rice discussed it in regards to Tennessee softball, has tweeted about it, but for baseball, it's going to be the same. Vince, they are going to go ahead and utilize regionals and super regionals from same sites. It will be predetermined as opposed to teams being able to be awarded a regional and then, depending on your national seating, hosting a super regional. And it is unfortunate, but considering where we are and where we still have to get in regards to pulling out of pandemic status, it's understandable, but it's also unfortunate that you aren't necessarily playing for that huge carrot. You still have everything, of course, that's on the table that you set preseason as goals, but hosting a regional, unfortunately, might not be a part of the equation this year.
Well, another level of frustrating, John, is you might still be able to play for it, but you don't know.
Right.
So that unknown out there, it'd be one thing if they just declared that, you know, here these neutral sites are going to host all the, you know, regionals and super regionals, then you knew where you stood. But you don't know, and the NCAA basically gave schools a week to submit their interest in hosting a regional for consideration. And then they're going to decide sounds like maybe a month before the season is over, when it normally would be with a conference tournament. So it's such an unknown. And I think it probably impacts the smaller schools, John, mm-hmm. that would hope maybe with a really good year, hope to get a national seed, hope to host when they maybe never have or haven't in a long time. Those are the ones that are probably going to be impacted more. But what's the NCAA going to do? Are they going to, if you have a bunch of fringe, a bunch of teams that could be in that spot, are they going to give it to maybe some schools that aren't even hosting, that don't end up, as regional host? So you're going to have two or three seeds potentially hosting a regional? My initial thought was, man, there's a lot of things that I don't like about this, but I do, and I did, as you correctly pointed out, you have to kind of check yourself and say, look, they're still trying to work through this. What makes it maybe harder to do that is the fact that it's the NCAA, mm-hmm. and they're always going to put something on our plate that we're going to say, we're not eating this.
That's right.
Why did you put this here?
Correct.
So,
Vince, last night we saw a matchup of 1 versus 2. It's the fifth time that the preseason 1 and 2 have played for the national championship, going back to 1962 when it was Ohio State Cincinnati, 65 UCLA Michigan, 99 Duke UConn, 2001 Duke Arizona, and then this one. In every case, the team that was preseason number 2 won. What did you think of Baylor's performance last night?
Incredible and dominant. That's the only thing. They absolutely suffocated Gonzaga from start to finish with that 9-0 lead, and they were relentless defensively. Now, for people that have watched Baylor this year, that's not new, but I still think there was another level for them to increase their defensive intensity. And the fact that they can shoot while playing that kind of defense, that's, I think, what made it harder, so hard for Gonzaga to try to work their way out of. Because they had to work so hard just to try to get a good shot offensively against that Baylor defense, and now you have to go back and defend. Next thing you know, you're a step slow, you're leaving three-point shooters open. Baylor can shoot from anywhere, and they have so many shooters, they have so many point guards that can get in the lane. They had answers to everything. When Gonzaga would go to that zone, no problem. We'll flash players in the middle of the zone when we have you spread out, and then we'll make shots there or dribble and dish. And it's amazing. You see so many basketball teams like not know what to do against the zone. And Baylor took them 10 seconds to figure out what to do, and they forced Gonzaga to come out of that so deep, so tenacious defensively, shooting absolutely lights out. And those were the two best teams during the regular season. And my only pause on Baylor was just they weren't quite the same after their COVID pause. And so, you wondered if at some point that would take a toll on it. On them, but no, they were even better than they were prior to them losing, coming back from the pause. An incredible performance, and you have to wonder how much that semifinal game took away from the Zags.
Gary Parrish from CBS Sports has Tennessee preseason number 20 going into next year. Given Tennessee's current roster, and that includes the Auburn transfer, Kennedy Chandler, etc., would you have Tennessee in the top 25?
Jimmy, at first thought, I would not. I'd probably have them maybe just on the outside. But let's be honest, there are so many moving parts throughout college basketball. Like, I haven't studied what St. Bonaventure's roster is going to look like, and neither have a lot of other people. Now, maybe Gary Parrish, and that's what he does on a daily basis. Maybe he studied that a little bit more and has an opinion on it. Doesn't mean he's going to be right. But at first thought, I would say no, but I still want to kind of dig into what the additions and subtractions are for a lot of these teams. Baylor is going to be loaded. Gonzaga is going to be loaded. There's going to be guys that we didn't see this year, or didn't see much of, that now are going to be stars next year. And Baylor's got a player that was a teammate with Kennedy Chandler at Sunrise Christian, and he's a really, really good player. So, and they have more. And Baylor, some of their roster was made up of transfers. And so they had the perfect blend, Jimmy, in a roster, because they had some guys that have been in their program for a number of years. They had the right transfers. They have a chemistry that came together with the right experienced players and the right younger players that had been around. And then obviously others that are going to stick around, you know, the freshmen and sophomores that will stick around and develop and take that next step. Also, they had the right blend, but this age of, well, you just got to be experienced. Well, are you experienced from your own players, or are you experienced because you have three transfers and they came together? Because not everybody's transfers in mass are going to come together. There's probably plenty of college basketball examples of teams that added players and it just wasn't the right mesh. And I'm sure there'll be some of those that'll be preseason top 25, and we'll be wrong on them. Gary and a lot of other people will be wrong about some of them, and there'll be others that develop that we don't see. But just so this transfer portal, it is so, there's so much movement and still to come. Let Tennessee add a Walker Kessler or a Noah Gurley, someone like that. Devin Askew is another one that some people have put out there from Kentucky, a point guard that got benched, have put out there that Tennessee is on his short list. There were three teams in a tweet today from someone, a Kentucky radio station, tweeted out that it was Tennessee and two other schools that were his front runners, and Devin Askew tweeted back to him and said, "This is false." Now, does that mean the Tennessee part of it is false? Does that mean the second or third team is false? Or all of it is false? Who knows? But I've seen other people trot that out there, that Tennessee is on a short list for him also. Very talented freshman for Kentucky, obviously. But if Tennessee adds to this team, then I will feel better about them in the top 25. But at this point, to answer your question, Jimmy, I probably have them on the outside right now.
Our guest, Vince Ferrara. His appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment. We've got more sports talk coming your way. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. That puts you on 99.1, the sports animal. It's Stu who joins us next. Hello, Stu.
Hey, guys. How are you all this afternoon? Good, I hope.
Yes, sir. Hope you are.
Doing well. But I want to express something to you guys. I'm a bit disappointed over the lack of outrage over the Fulkerson Omar Payne incident. I've already talked to the SEC office. They say they're not going to make a statement about it. And in my view, and in view of an awful lot of people that I've talked to, if the SEC doesn't come out and say this is not going to be tolerated, essentially what they're saying is, if you don't carry a gun, a knife, or brass knuckles, you can do about anything you want to on a basketball court. And the worst that's going to happen is a one-game suspension if your school decides so. And I think there needs to be calls to the SEC office in outrage over this. I'd like to hear your all opinions.
Vince?
Well, I certainly think there should have been more punishment towards Omar Payne. I would not hold my breath waiting for a additional reaction based on fan outrage. I don't think the SEC is reactionary in that way towards what fans are disappointed in. I just don't see them operating that way. I agree with you that there should have been more, but I think at this point I don't think they're going to react to it, change their mind on it. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I wonder, really, because we haven't talked to John Fulkerson, if that whole incident changed his thinking on whether to return to basketball, if it left such a bad taste in his mouth that he didn't want it to end like that, that maybe he reconsiders what to do. But I think he got off easy, even though I thought Mike White did the right thing in at least doing something, because wasn't anything that came from the SEC.
I will tell you that I do strongly believe there was conversation between Tennessee, between Florida, and between the SEC office. And the agreement was, not publicly, but the agreement was Mike White was not going to play Omar Payne in one for one game. So he basically had a one-game suspension. And that's the way they elected to handle it.
And Jimmy, and that's fine, but my thing is, so why can't the SEC, to our caller's point, why can't the SEC get behind a suspension and say, here's the standard for sportsmanship in our conference? It just means more, and we're not going to tolerate it. Why'd it have to come privately, quietly, after the game from Mike White? That's my question.
Well, and also when Juwan Jennings got suspended in the bowl game, and that's postseason play, the SEC announced that suspension.
Yeah.
So why would you handle that differently? Now, I was told, and I'm having trouble getting my head around this, that the SEC does not have jurisdiction of suspending somebody from the NCAA tournament. They could from the SEC tournament, but not the NCAA tournament. I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but when I asked the SEC that question, I was told that that is unclear.
All right. Well, then come out and say this will not be tolerated. He's suspended for the first three games of next season if he elects to come back. At least you're showing that it is not acceptable, and you hopefully squash that type of behavior. But,
Vince, that's my point exactly. They need to squash this type of behavior, and we're getting nothing from the SEC office.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. If there was indeed a suspension in place and a penalty paid, why wouldn't you highlight it just to, again, serve as a deterrent?
Yeah, and I'm not arguing that. I think you're right. I'm just pointing out the facts as I know them.
Yes. So, but, Stu, we do appreciate the call. Let's go next to Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
I agree with Stu 100%. That wasn't what I was calling about. It seems to me, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, the greatest event in the country was the World Series. It looks like to me this past week, baseball thinks we're still in the 50s and people actually care about baseball. In 2020, they had the lowest ratings ever for the World Series. They averaged a little bit under 10 million people. Including Game 3, they had 8.1 million people watch the World Series. The last full year of attendance, 2019, they had the lowest attendance since 2003, and it's dropped 7% since 2015. So if I was baseball, I'd be trying to make friends instead of making enemies.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that we have known for a little while now is that Rob Manfred is a bonehead.
That's a good description. And I'll say one other thing. This $100 million is a pile of hooey. I lived in Knoxville in 82 when we had the World's Fair. And I lived in Atlanta in 96 when we had the Olympics. And you could take those revenue projections that they give to these cities and cut them at least in half. If anybody thinks Atlanta's losing $100 million over a three-day event, then they've probably never taken a finance course.
But, you know, even if it's $50 million, there's still a lot you can do with $50 million.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, I mean, let's say you bought two tickets to All-Star Game, paid $300 for it, and you live in Dalton or Marietta. Well, you're going to get that money back. That money's not going to disappear, and you're going to spend it later for a Braves game or for a Falcons game in the fall or take your wife out for dinner or Six Flags or something like that. That money doesn't disappear. It just goes in different directions.
Right, but there are some who wanted to go to the All-Star Game, and it might have been the first time that they had tickets or an opportunity to go, and it could be the only chance they have to go to the Midsummer Classic. So I agree. Yeah. But you are right.
Like Atlanta's losing $100 million. Those people are losing an opportunity of a lifetime, probably.
Yes.
So, hey, y'all going to be in Oak Ridge Friday?
No.
Not this Friday, no.
No.
Oh, okay. I'll say we're coming back to Knoxville. I'll send you an email. Tell me where you're going to be.
We'll be at Tulsa Golf Course.
Okay. See you.
All right. Bye. Sure do appreciate it, Doug. Thank you. our guest Vince Ferrara, who also thinks Rob Manfred is a bonehead.
Yes.
With Jimmy Himes, I'm John Wilkerson. Vince's appearance is brought to you by our friends at Waters Equipment. We've got more with Vince and your calls coming up as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal. Let's check in with Ron. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ron.
Hey, John, Jimmy, Vince, how y'all doing today?
Hey, doing Ron. Well. Great to hear from you.
Good, Ron.
Hey, it's good to hear from y'all every day like I always do. You know, Vince, John, I'll tell you what, next time I see you two gentlemen, I am going to shake your hands very greatly for your honest opinion about Major League Baseball's commissioner. You know, that man couldn't lead a pack of Boy Scouts through an open field. That's the bottom line right there on him. And they're like, number two, this big, bad linebacker, Beasley, cannot control his emotions, cannot control what he needs to do when he's on that football field. And he's got maybe a 300-pound offensive lineman that just absolutely flattens him to the ground. How's he going to control his emotions then? If I was Josh, and I don't care if I was down to my last linebacker, I'd say, pack it up. I don't need somebody that can't handle a kitten in a respectful way. I'm a big animal lover. Tennessee is a big animal state. Number three. This new coaching staff, so far, guys, how do y'all feel about them? Do you feel like they gave a lot of transparency to the media, letting everybody know exactly what's going on out there on the field? Because I know that Butch Jones and Pruitt, they both kind of kept things behind the curtain a lot of times. What's y'all's thoughts and opinion about that?
What do you think, Vince?
Well, first I'll go back to Aaron Beasley. We don't know if he actually did do
it yet. No charges have been filed as of yet.
He's been accused. But if that is true to your point, Ron, no place for him. And I don't know that he's going to have an opportunity to go up against a 300-pounder, not in orange and white. I don't know if he can stay on this football team or we'll get that opportunity if that is indeed true. And so that's a one thing. But it just – somebody did that to a cat, and that's a horrible, horrible human being, if you can call him that, to do that. So somebody is guilty of that. We'll see if it ends up being him. Also on the coaching staff, I do think so, Ron, that they have been more accessible. But we got two more coaches that will talk to the media tonight after practice in Jerry Mack and Willie Martinez. They're rotating all those assistants for us to be able to talk to them. They're making student athletes available to us about once a week right now and through Zoom. And part of that, I think, is, look, it's more limited in us being out there. So let's try to take care of the media a little bit with some of the virtual and remote availability. But I do think this coaching staff wants the media to be able to see some of practice. I think it will open up in the fall. And also the way they answer the questions and those avails. Jimmy, you can tell me if you agree. I think they've been more open than what we've heard in the past. They're willing to talk about players. They give thoughtful answers and seem sincere and authentic in some of their answers. It doesn't mean they're going to win games because of it, but I do like what I've heard. What do you think, Jimmy?
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think they've been very pleasant to deal with. They've been very open to deal with. And I will say this. I think if the previous staff had been there, we wouldn't be having all these Zoom meetings and the player availability. I think it's not just a COVID concern Zoom. I think it's a philosophical change with them understanding Tennessee needs to promote its football program. They don't need to be clandestine about it, and I think they understand it and they get that.
Ron, great to hear from you. Stay safe out there, my friend. And let's go next to Bill. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Bill.
Hello, guys. I wanted to point out what a great job the backup shortstop did for Tennessee against Alabama. Steenstra, I believe is his name. It's Dutch. But he can really put the bat on the ball and probably was the most consistent and productive hitter I saw during that three-game series. I'm not sure shortstop is his best position, He certainly could probably play the outfield or first base because he's a little weak with the glove. But he can hit the ball, and I just wanted to know your impression of his performance.
Well, you touched on it. He gave Tennessee a spark when it needed it most in that seventh inning, led it off with a triple in that Saturday game. If Tennessee doesn't win that game, it has no chance to win the series in the Sunday finale. And while Tennessee did take the lead and then give it back with what you were talking about, Tennessee able to play through some adversity. As we pointed out yesterday, Tennessee from the end of the third inning in game one went 12 innings without scoring a run through the first six in game two. But then after they took the lead in the seventh, they never trailed the rest of the series. They were tied, but they never trailed. And Vince Steenstra is somebody that Tony Vitello and the staff very excited about with what they see as his potential. And he not only had a couple of doubles and a triple, but he also took the right fielder to the wall twice, came and also almost left that triple, was almost out to straightaway center, so came very close to getting that first home run as a Volunteer.
It's the most comfortable and confident that I've seen him at the plate all season. John, would you not agree?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he was right there in back-to-back ball games, and so he was able to build on what he did Saturday on Sunday, and I think he did look very comfortable. And Jimmy, we talked with Coach Vitello last night that he mentioned Steenstra, and he said when you are 6'5", it takes some time to kind of get used to playing low, as he called it, that position at short. And perhaps that's what led to or has led to, because he also made an error in his first start, which was at Georgia Southern in game two of that series to open the season. But I think more playing time might make him more comfortable at that position.
And just think how much range he'd have if he was 6'6".
and he's played first base for Tennessee this year.
He sure has, Vince.
He also pitched in junior college as well. Now, he's not going to pitch for Tennessee, but he is a tremendous athlete. They really liked him at shortstop. Look, if Liam Spence had struggled this year, probably be the starting shortstop, but Liam Spence has had an amazing year, hitting 400 on the season, 404. So there hadn't been an opportunity to get him on the field, and Tennessee's pretty set with a lot of their starters. So it just has been limited opportunities because they DH Spence with that hammy healing up. They gave him an opportunity, and yes, he had a couple of errors, but I thought he had a great weekend, and we'll see if he can build on it.
Yeah, you work on the plus-minus with that.
That's right.
Thank you, guys. I think we're going to hear a lot about him as the season goes along.
I think so as well. But, Bill, we certainly appreciate your listening as well as your calling in. We'll get a break. We've got a final segment to this hour of Sports Talk, another segment with Vince coming up as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal. And why don't we go right back to the phones where it's Randy who's up next. Hello, Randy.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Guys, as far as Rob Manfred goes, I think we all know by now that if brains were dynamite, he couldn't blow his own nose. So, this guy, the sooner we get this guy out of there, the sooner Major League Baseball can go back to some sense of normalcy. But, guys, I was thinking about, you were talking about Logan Steenstra and the weekend that he had. I've been very fortunate that I've been able to attend, a few games this year already. And, of course, John, I catch you on the FM dial most games. So, this Tennessee team's been really, really exciting. And I don't know about you guys, but I really love how they seem to just find ways to win. And they're very resourceful. And I just wonder, I'm excited to see how we stack up against the upper tier of the SEC. And obviously, our starting pitching could be a little more consistent. I don't think we're quite where we want to be there yet. And we got some guys that need to start hitting. But do you guys feel like we might be ready to take on the Carolinas, the Vanderbilts, and the Arkansas and those teams?
Vince?
Well, I don't know. Carolina, I don't know if I would put in that category, but I know exactly what you mean. The Ole Misses, the Vanderbilts, the Arkansas. I think we'll see. If this team had Jackson Leith, then I would say absolutely, because then you'd have a rotation of Dallas Leith and Tidwell, and I think that would outside of maybe Vandy's top two, I think you can put it up against anybody in the SEC. That's not the case. So Will Heflin did a really nice job in Tuscaloosa against Alabama, and there's times where he is lights out, and he's had some shorter outings also. But I think they still have enough arms that we haven't even seen get the opportunities on the weekend that can probably come through for him. So I do think they can, and this weekend will be a big test for him. You also mentioned Steenstra. Six of his eight hits this year are extra base hits. He has five doubles and one triple. And he's in the starting lineup tonight, by the way, as well at shortstop. So there's going to be a lot of guys in different spots tonight since it's a midweek game. But, yeah, I do think we'll know more, John, after the next two weekends. But I do think because of a lot of the intangibles, and this team hasn't even, I think, reached its peak or played its best ball yet, I think they can compete with them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Tony Vitello said last night. He thinks the best ball is ahead of this team, and I don't think there's any question, Randy, that, yeah, there are spots that you, I wouldn't say are areas of concern, but Tennessee needs some players to find a little more consistency in their game if they are indeed going to make the most of these next two weekends, the opportunity that's there. Florida is ranked lower than Tennessee is right now, and the Gators were previously ranked number one. Vanderbilt, the next week, is the number one team in the country right now. By consensus, there are six-plus polls that at least one has a different number one. But anyhow, yeah, this is going to be a proving ground, but I don't think there's any lack of confidence in their ability to compete within this ball club. And I think that's where, and Jimmy, you've talked to it, where we've seen the program built and a culture developed.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the fact that you lost Garrett Crochet, you lost Alex Solari, you lost a couple of other really good players, and you come back the next year and you're ranked higher than you were the year before, that's really strong. I personally did not expect Tennessee to be this good. Maybe you guys did because you followed closer, but I thought when you lost that star power, you'd be really good, but not this good.
Randy, we do appreciate the call. Always great to hear from you. So we sure do appreciate it. And Vince, as time running just a little bit short, you've got, of course, you're part of the baseball call tonight. What can we look forward to later this week on In the Cage?
Really excited. Another big name in MMA will join us on the show. Kat Zingano, a name that a lot of people have heard of, even on the casual level. She is fighting for Bellator, and she has a fight against Olivia Parker from KMAA here in Knoxville. Great opportunity for Liv in Bellator. Really make a name for herself. Kat Zingano will join us on the show. Plus, we'll break down Bellator's first show last weekend, and the UFC took a week off, so we will preview their fight this weekend. Bellator coming up. Valor Fighting Challenge last Friday night was so much fun and a great show. So just a lot of MMA to discuss, and really excited about Thursday night, 8 to 9 here on the Sports Animal.
That's right, and if folks happen to miss last week's killer show, they can find that in a couple of places, right?
That's right. You can, anywhere you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever, or you can find it on our website in the audio tab. Just look for In the Cage MMA Radio, and you can see interview with Big John McCarthy and Olivia Parker, and just all go back and get to all those shows. So just like all the great shows on our station, all those podcasts are always available on our website, or subscribe to them and you can get it individually whenever we update and throw that podcast up.
And if folks aren't making 99.1thesportsanimal.com a part of their daily routine, then they sure are missing out, aren't they?
We would. First question is, why? But, yeah, we'd love to have you check out the website. I mean, just constantly, half dozen to 10 posts, a lot of them, of course, on Tennessee, University of Tennessee Athletics, constant. And then we have all the videos and all the podcasts of all the football avails, whenever there's basketball avails or baseball, softball. Have all of that for you on our website. You can get obviously all the podcasts from our shows, but blogs and national information, just so much that's there for you. Make sure you bounce around 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
That's Vince Ferrara. His appearance brought to you by Waters Equipment.